a post that a friend of mine who I had asked to share this morning or today posted this morning, and I, after she posted, I asked her if I could share it. This is from Naomi Nelson, who some of you know from Great Falls. She wrote this about a little boy that she and her family have been assisting. She says, speaking aloud as he wrote the book summary for his homework, his voice stopped mid-sentence. God loves. His entire being drooped, the pen lowering sadly to the padded bench. We'd read earlier the creation story for children, a gorgeously illustrated volume weaving scripture with simple explanations and questions, and including an extra focus on God's personal care for each of us using Psalm 139. My kiddo had been so alive and happy while reading, explaining to me how God is everywhere, knows everything, and can see all we do and where we are. Do you think he might not? I queried, wondering what had triggered this change. He nodded. When I'm bad, he doesn't. He loves you even when you're bad, I spoke earnest reassurance. We looked at Romans 5:8 and talked about John 3:16. Why do you think he doesn't? He goes away from us when we're bad. He doesn't stay with us. I assured him that God does not change. He is always the same. It is we who move away from him, and that is why Jesus came, to give us a new heart and take that sin. Do you think I don't love you when you're bad? He nodded sadly. I do. I might not be happy with you, but I still love you very much, and God is the same way. He didn't argue, but something was still bothering him. When he spoke again, the heavy sadness unabated. My heart ached. My daddy doesn't love me when I'm bad. I hesitated. How does a child believe in a heavenly father's love when his earthly parents have been so human? I can imagine why he thinks this. Not wanting to ignore the pain, yet realizing that in his own broken way, his dad does care and tries to provide, I finally replied softly, "Your dad does love you. I'm sorry that you feel he doesn't." I shared a little more about God's love, not sure whether I was handling it right nor what was sinking in. He was growing antsy, and I knew that a full gospel presentation was not going to happen today. He sat a little longer, contemplating. Finally, he picked up the pen and confidently finished the sentence, seeming to have a measure of restored hope. Please do pray that God continues to work in all their lives. Their mama's choices necessitate her being away for a while. You never know what moment is going to bring that opportunity. I shared a little bit this morning about, let me start that differently. About 2 years ago, next month, towards the end of the month, I was driving down 32nd Street, and I was sobbing. My heart was just absolutely broken. We were at a point where a lot of things had changed. We'd run into a lot of difficulties. It didn't look like Forbid Them Not was going to survive. And the very weekend that we were at the 1 year anniversary of my dad's home going, some really difficult things happened. And in the next few weeks, those things increased. And I don't want to go into a lot of details, but some accusations were made that were very hurtful. And in my mind, in seeing those things and hearing those things, I felt that I had failed completely. I felt that I had failed the Lord. I felt that I had failed the children that we work with, the women that we work with, the missionaries that we work with, and the children that they work with. And I didn't see how there was any possible way that that situation could be redeemed. I was looking back at the previous 20 years of my life of having poured my heart into ministry to the fatherless, and all of a sudden, just in one event, it's all destroyed. And I remember driving down the road weeping, which is not a good idea when you drive a standard transmission. You start missing gears and stalling out. It's just not a pretty picture. But as I was driving down the road, I heard myself all of a sudden saying, Lord, a year ago I felt like someone, not someone important, just someone. But now I feel worthless. And in that moment, the Lord and the Holy Spirit just whispered to my heart, Rachel, you are still my daughter, and I love you. So fast forward 3 months, and I'm sitting in that Burger King with that single mom who is weeping, who has just come from the meeting finding out that the state is going to pursue termination of rights. And as we sat in that meeting together, I heard some things that were true, and they were hard to hear. And I heard some things that were exaggerated, and I also heard some things that were false. They were just flat out lies. And as that lady sat there weeping over these things that had been said about her that were not true, because of that moment in my car, because of the difficulties that we had walked through, I was able to sit there and look across the table to her and say, those lies don't define you. Who you are is not what people say you are, but it's who God sees you as through Jesus Christ. If you are saved, then you are his daughter, and he still loves you. The difficulties, the trials, the time, even our most difficult moments as we walk through this process, it's all worth it. In November of 2014, I was standing in line at the food bank here in Billings with a single mom and her four-year-old little boy. He was cute as can be. And I had never met her before that day. She had called the previous week and said, I have a box. I'm registered for a box at the food bank, but I don't have a vehicle. And I've been calling around all day. I'm trying to find how to get there. I don't have it. And she was just getting more and more upset. And I said, hey, I would love to take you to get your food box. How hard is that? So I made arrangements with her. We met up. She was all registered and everything. She had her little slip of paper. All she had to do was turn it in. The whole process took maybe 15 minutes. So we go through. She's very careful in looking at what's in the box. And if she saw something her family would not use, she put it back and said, keep this for someone else who will use it, because I know our family won't use it. And as we're walking out to the car and loading her boxes into my car, she says, Rachel, thank you so much for doing this. And I said, oh, you're welcome, but that's what we're here for. It's okay. We want to do things like this. And she said, no, you don't understand. I called churches all over town, and yours is the only church that was willing to help a single mom. It doesn't have to be that way. We can make that difference. We can choose to be the one, like we were talking about this morning, that bridges that ratio of the number of churches seeking to help the single moms and the fatherless children. Where we are right now is probably the most important moment of the day, because we're at the moment at which we have to begin deciding what we're going to do with what we've heard today. We now hold in common not just a day, but knowledge. And with that knowledge, responsibility. In his first speech to Parliament addressing the atrocities of the slave trade, William Wilberforce concluded, having heard all of this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say that you did not know. We cannot simply look the other way. Yes, it may be daunting, but it will also be rewarding. Just as we heard at the beginning of the day, we have an opportunity. We also have a huge responsibility. But with God's help, we can go forward with courage, and we don't have to go into it alone. Not only do we have God on our side, but we have one another, and we need each other. We've talked a lot today about the needs of the fatherless, but as we step forward in this, we will each have needs as well. Each one of us will have a need for prayer, for fellowship, for a listening ear and sounding board. We'll have a need for mutual participation. I'm willing to walk alongside of you. And as Brother Thompson was presenting this morning, I want to invite you to be a part of that coalition of the willing, to work together to reach the fatherless. We're willing to assist in whatever way possible and to invest as much time as possible in helping you get started in the work. We'll walk along with you in prayer and in encouragement, training, whatever else we can do. And we would like to invite you to walk alongside of us. We need pastors and churches and individuals to stand behind us. It's not an easy work. We can't, any one of us, do it alone. But we can work together to make a huge difference with God's help.